Well, today, I want to share just a one-off message called Tested Faith and God's Provision, and I emphasize both, that God will test your faith and He will allow your faith to be tested. And then God will provide for you in various ways, maybe not the way you want. His provision is there. You are not cushioned, but you are provided for. You know, there are certain Bible stories that really need no introduction. Daniel in the lion's den, for example. They're so well known that even people who don't really go to church, don't really read their Bible, they're familiar with the story. Well, if you take the character of Abraham, the best known episode in his life is that episode that's riveting, it's dramatic, it's infuriating to a degree. It's the episode where Abraham was called to offer his son Isaac. It's been called one of the worst stories in the Bible and one of the best stories in the Bible, and it has significant theological importance. We know the story, most of us do. The best synopsis of it is actually in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." In other words, it's through Isaac that basically the Messiah of the world will come. And so Abraham, he's told to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And wait a minute, you've promised that it's through Isaac the Messiah will come. How can this be? Verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. All right, now if you got your Bible or on your phone, turn to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to walk quickly. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to walk quickly through this narrative. And then I've got four questions for you here at the close. Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, "Abraham?" And Abraham replied, "Here I am." Now, this is going to be a test, but here's the problem. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's still on or not, but sometimes on TVs, you know, come the sound, they're like, "This is a test, this is only a test," and da-da-da-da. Well, Abraham doesn't get to hear that, and Abraham's not sure this is a test. God knows he's planning to test him. Now, let me just very, very quickly remind you, there is a difference between a testing and a temptation. God tests our faith so that it might grow. Satan tempts us to sin in an attempt to destroy our faith. When God tests us, it has a positive motive. You see, the difference between a test and a temptation is the motive of the administrator. What's their intent? God is for us. The enemy is against us. God never tempts, the Bible says, but he will test and he will allow testings to come to build you, to grow you, to stretch you. Verse 2, then God said, "All right, Abraham, take your son, your only son." And by the way, that little phrase, it's found three times in this narrative. "Your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, the promised one," the one who was given to Abraham and Sarah when she's 90 years old and Abraham's 100 years old, the promised child through whom the Messiah would come. "But I want you to take him. Go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." What? First of all, let me show you where Mount Moriah is. I don't know if you can see that there, but this is going to be about a 50-mile trip for Abraham and Isaac. And when he gets to Mount Moriah, well, actually, some of you have been to Mount Moriah. It's the Temple Mount. So when you've been to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, you've been to Mount Moriah. Now, so far, we've got a couple of questions we got to ask. Here they are on the screen. First of all, how could God even ask such a thing? And secondly, how could Abraham even consider such a thing? Well, at this point, Abraham, he's just got two options. Either you obey or you don't. And there's no explanation from God. And there's no word from the Lord saying, now, Abraham, I'm not going to let you actually carry this all. There's nothing like that. And so Abraham either obeys and with an attitude that says, I do not understand this, but your word is clear here, and so I will obey. You know, it's fairly easy to trust God when something makes sense to you. It's fairly easy to obey God when something makes perfect sense to you, or when there's an explanation, or you think you have an explanation. That's not the case here. Early the next morning, verse 3, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about where to go. Full obedience, immediate, he goes. Verse 4, on the third day, wonderful things happen on the third day in Scripture. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, you stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. By the way, this is the very first time the word worship is found in the Bible, right here in this story. We will worship, and then, notice this, and then we will come back to you. How God's going to work this out, I don't know. But I know he made a promise. I know he's given me a command here. They seem to be contradictory, but God's going to work it out. I'm going, I'm obeying, I'm taking the next step, and I'm trusting God for the outcome, and we'll come back here. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. By the way, Isaac's old enough to carry all this. People wonder how old he was. Scholars don't really know. Best guess, around 25. Could have been as old as 35. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. How's God going to work this? I don't know, but the Lord will provide. Abraham's perplexed, but he remains obedient to this clear word from God that God had told him to do. Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he said. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Again, that phrase three times in this narrative. Your son, your only son. Abraham is passing this test where he's willing to put himself and his own wisdom aside and simply obey the clear word of God. He didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to him, but the Lord will provide. Verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. What a coincidence. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Notice God providing a substitute. We're going to come back to that in a moment. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, the very first time Abraham heard the promise from the Lord, that I'm going to make of you a great nation, and from you all nations will be blessed. In other words, through your descendants will come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then it's through the line of your son Isaac, the promised child. Isaac had never actually heard that promise himself, but he's about to hear it for the first time himself. And the angel of the Lord said, verse 16, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You know, the Bible is the greatest truth story ever. It promises blessings to all. It's not a little provincial tale for a few. All nations are blessed through the giving of Jesus Christ. And in this account of Abraham, the father of our faith, the father of the faithful, and his willingness to offer Isaac, I've got four questions for you, and here's the first one. Do you know that God will test your faith? Not to destroy you, and he will allow some testings to come. And I think the great test of your life is going to be when you face situations and you just ask why, and it doesn't make sense. Why? No real explanation for its coming. Now, everyone, you are very, very wise to teach your children that God is love. And we do well to speak of God as Jesus did regularly, as what? A good and gracious Father. When Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, and he paints him as a good, good Father. But we do our children no favors to raise them with the impression that God's love is soft and sentimental and indulgent and would never ask anything of you. The biblical God is out to grow us and stretch us. He loves us, and he will allow us to be tested. And this should not come as a surprise. You think of the best teacher you've had. Think of some great coaches you've had. They held you to a point of accountability. They pushed you at times. They nudged you. They loved you. You knew it. You knew they loved you. They were for you. But they were seeking to bring out the good in you. You know, you're going to experience testing. Let me put four words up here on the screen. Pain, people, proof, prosperity. We'll all experience these tests and more. Our faith will be tested through pain, through those situations where we go, why? Unmet expectations, just disappointments, maybe physical pain. And then people. You don't think people will test your love? Sure they will. But listen, some of the most frustrating people in your life at this moment, over time, might become some of the most inspiring and actually serve you well down the line. People will test you, and I hope that you'll pass the test by being a person of robust, deep love, giving some slack, giving a break, and then proof. Hey, I just want more proof that God is there. Well, can you prove God exists? No. Empirically, no. But there is evidence. He is there. He is not silent. We do walk by faith, not by sight. And as one writer has well said, sometimes our problem is not that we ask questions. Our problem is that we refuse to accept any answers. We just lean into the default of rejecting any. It's okay to ask questions. But when you have the mindset of, I just refuse to accept any answer, that's when doubt is not just a state of mind, it's become a way of life. How about the test of prosperity? A lot of people are tested through adversity. You don't think prosperity is a test? It can affect your mindset, your attitude. How many people, as they become more prosperous, do they actually become more generous? I've got another P I could put up here. How about pandemic? That'll test you. But as I've said over the last couple of times, actually, this is a time when Christians have an opportunity to shine unlike any other, to let our hope in Christ, our peace in Christ, our love in Christ, our joy in Christ, that's not rooted in circumstances. We have an opportunity, Corey, to be that salt, to be that flavor, and to preserve, and to influence, and add taste. Do you know that the God who loves you will allow you to be tested? Secondly, do you understand that the right answer to testing is always obedience? God did not give full explanations to Abraham. He just said, follow me, trust me, I will provide. And for some of us, we have trouble walking by faith because we want an explanation for everything. If God explained every single thing to you, there would be no need for faith. And I think, you know, we live in an age now where, you know, a lot of people reject the Bible. Even people who claim to be Christians, they reject the Bible. And I think one of the tests that come to us that we have to ask is, you know, am I willing to be obedient to the historic Christian faith, even though it says things that are not going to be in line? If you're just taking a survey of people, it's not going to be in line with surveys. And you're going to be odd, and you're going to be viewed, you're going to be called names. But when you are tested, do you understand the right answer every time is, if it's clear from God, we trust and we obey. Thirdly, third question, can you see God Himself becoming our ultimate sacrifice? You know, in the story of Isaac, God provided a substitute sacrifice, that ram caught in a thicket. In the ultimate story of Jesus Christ, God provided a substitute sacrifice. And listen, and He actually became the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that can actually cover sin and cleanse your conscience. You know what that means, don't you? It means there's not a sin in the book that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot give you permission to let yourself off the hook and begin a new day in freedom and grace and mercy. And for 2,000 years, Christians have seen this story, Abraham and Isaac, as a story of the picture of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Abraham said, I've never seen a resurrection, but God's telling me to do this, and I'm just going to assume He can raise Isaac from the grave. He stopped him. Abraham didn't have to carry it through. But on another hilltop, God did and actually carried through what Abraham was not allowed to do. God provided the sacrifice. Only this time, His son, His only son, was not spared. And that's why for 2,000 years, believers have called Jesus what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And on that mountain, Mount Calvary, God showed just how far he would go to bless and redeem and reconcile a broken world. And it's all possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Isaac carried the wood. Jesus carried the cross. Isaac was laid on an altar. Jesus was nailed to the cross. The ram was offered in place of Isaac. Jesus was offered in place of you and me. Abraham received his son back figuratively. Jesus Christ was literally raised from the dead. How do you know God loves you? Not just some abstract, wispy, well, I kind of think so. You know, the flowers are pretty. No, it's not abstract. Exhibit A for all time, that God relishes you, delights in you, wants you, loves you, cares for you, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And now you can say, maybe in the words of Genesis 22, now I know. Now I know you really love me because you did not spare your son, your only son, for me. And last of all, fourth question, can you trust the God who will provide for you and me? You know, Rembrandt painted the scene of Abraham and Isaac twice. And both of his paintings were sort of set at the time when Isaac would have said, here's the wooden fire, but where's the lamb? And both times Rembrandt shows Abraham not answering Isaac directly, but rather looking up to God to say, the Lord will provide. My friends, I want you to know I care for you. And I do not know how the Lord will provide for you. You're going to have to get to heaven to see all the ways the Lord has provided for you. It's kind of like the Israelites walking through the desert. After they finished, they were reminded, hey, you did notice your shoes didn't wear out, didn't you? That was God. That wasn't the Egyptian cobblers. That was God. He did that. We're going to have to get to heaven to see all the ways that God has provided for us, not indulged us. We're not cushioned, but we are kept and provided for. We're given the church, the pillar and ground of truth. We're given the scriptures, the path to holiness. We're given Jesus Christ, the Savior, King, and Lord. We're given an avenue of prayer. And on your last day, when you breathe your last and you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because the Lord is with you. He provides a doorway to eternal life. And you know what else? Sometimes the Lord provides in ways you're never aware of. I believe many of you have encountered angels. The Bible says, hey, you encounter angels and you don't know it. Completely unaware of it. Angels are God's ministering spirits. There you go. And God also provides. He provides through the Holy Spirit, the church, the scriptures, angels, so many ways. His response to prayer. And he provides through us. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, I'll tell you a story, read you just a little something from a physician, a medical doctor, who lives in Denver. And this happened around Christmas just a few years ago. Said she was driving home from a meeting. It was, 5, 6 o'clock. She needed to pull into a little Jiffy Mart, and she sees a woman walk out of the little, 7-Eleven type store, and it looked like maybe she had slipped on some ice and fell into a gas pump. And so this doctor said, so I got out to see if she was okay. And when I got there, it looked like she had been more overcome by sobs Really, then she had hurt herself falling. She said she was a young woman who looked really haggard. She had dark circles around her eyes. She dropped something. I quickly realized it was a nickel, and then everything came into focus. The older Suburban, three kids in the back, one in a car seat, the gas pump that read $4.95. I asked her if she was okay and needed any help, and she just kept saying, "I don't want my kids to see me crying now." And so we stood on the other side of the car. She explained to me that she was driving to California, that things were tough on her right now. She was raising these kids alone as of a couple of months ago. And that's when I said to her, "You were praying a moment ago, weren't you?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I think I'm your answer." And she got a little startled and stepped back, and I said, "Hey, I'm not crazy. But I see what's going on here." So I took out my credit card. I swiped it through the card reader on the pump so she could fill up her car completely. And while I was fueling, I went next door to the McDonald's. I bought two big bags of food. They scarfed it down. I had also bought several gift certificates to get them all the way to California. I gave her the gift certificates. And she told me she was going to California because she called her parents. She wasn't particularly close to her parents, but now that she's alone, three kids, she can't make ends meet. They said, "Come here. We want you here. Get back on your feet, and we'll just take this a day at a time." So she packed up everything in the car, told the kids we're going to California for Christmas. She said, "I have not told them we're going to stay there." And then doctor in Denver said, "I gave her my gloves. I gave her a little hug, a little money, and a quick prayer for her safety on the road. And as I was walking back to my car, she said, 'So, are you like an angel or something?' And I said, 'Sweetie, this time of the year, angels are really, really busy. So sometimes God just uses regular people like me.'" How does the Lord provide? Sometimes we just sort of have to open our eyes and trust that He sees you, that He loves you and cares for you. After the cross, you just can't doubt God's love for you. Yes, your faith will be tested. You will pass that test. And you will not stay a baby believer. You'll have muscle tone. You'll be a person of robust hope, love, joy, and peace. And you will be a force for Jesus Christ. You will be salt. And your flavor will be unmistakable. You're going to grow through these tests. And along the way, our great God, our shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, He will provide for us in ways that we'll notice and in some ways that we'll not notice. God bless you, everyone. Those of you in the room, those of you watching, know that I love you. I care for you.